the only difference between Shavuos Hesseis and Shavuos Hadayanim is Nikitas Chayfetz. That Shavuos Hesseis does not require Nikitas Chayfetz, but he does say, but it does require the Shem Hashem, or a Kibud of Hashem. And then he wrote, then the Rambam wrote that the minhag was that even though there's no requirement of Nikitas Chayfetz, which means the person who swears the Shavuos Hesseis, that nitva, doesn't hold the Sefer Torah, but the minhag was that somebody else held the Sefer Torah. The Rambam called him the Chazan Nesef, which just means someone who worked, who was like the Shamish of the Shul, or any other member of the Tzibur, that somebody would hold the Sefer Torah when the Nitva swore the Shavuos Hesseis, and then the Rambam added, Kidei La'ayim Olav. See that?
Yeah.
Kidei La'ayim Olav. So it's interesting that the Rambam never didn't tell us when the when is the first time he mentioned Nikitas Chayfetz?
With regard to Shavuos Hadayanim specifically, or just in terms of any of them?
Well, it's only going to be with regard to Shavuos Hadayanim. So where did he first mention that you have to hold the Sefer Torah? Let's see, he mentioned it.
Actually, I was going to say, it's Chedertet he talks about
Ches.
In Shavuot.
In Ches, he says it. Shavuos Hadayanim bein choyse shal Torah bein shal divrei sofrim da kachi hanishba oche sefer Torah b'zrol. In Halacha Ches, when the Rambam first, I'm not asking the kasha, I'm just really now just making an observation that there, in Halacha Ches, when the Rambam first mentioned that you have to hold the sefer Torah, he doesn't say why. He never said why you have to hold the sefer Torah. He just says you have to hold the sefer Torah. It's only here in Halacha Yud Gimel when he says, with regard to a Shavuos Hesseis, that somebody from the Tzibur would hold the Sefer Torah, although not the guy swearing himself. He said they did that Kidei La'ayim Olav, in order to instill fear. So I'm just making an observation. I'm assuming that Kidei La'ayim Olav is the overall reason why there is a requirement of Nikitas Chayfetz, let's say by Shavuos Hadayanim. Okay, why the Rambam didn't mention it right away, I don't know. But he does. What are you going to say, that Nikitas Chayfetz for Shavuos Hadayanim is not Kidei La'ayim Olav? Is some other reason? I mean, we don't know any other reason. The Rambam doesn't mention any other reason. Okay, so even though the Rambam only mentions it in Yud Gimel, he mentions it within the context of Shavuos Hesseis, I'm assuming that, according to the Rambam, by Shavuos Hadayanim, when the Nitva holds the Sefer Torah, it's because Kidei La'ayim Olav.
He thinks it applies there too.
I'm assuming that, you know, can't be 100% sure, but okay. Then the Rambam, so that's the Rambam. The Ravid then says,
so, sorry, just a clarification question. Right, the Halacha Yud Gimel is talking about Shavuos Hadayanim with respect to Shavuos Hesseis. Right,
so that Shavuos Hesseis.
Yeah, so in Halacha Chet, we're talking about Shavuos Hadayanim with regard to Shavuos HaMishnah or Shavuos Deoraita. Right, remember
both,
how we
both of them. Okay, so then now in Yud Gimel, the Ravid says, Amar Avram, Shomati Shetiknu HaGaonim, She'ein mashbien achshav lo b'shem v'lo b'kinui kidei shelo yehei ha'olam chorev al yidei ha'odim sh'rohu ela she'machrim enoso u'makalu enoso, right? U'machrim enolo b'shofros v'kibu neiros u'mitos kefuyos la'ayem olam shem yecheto la'atzmo yecheto. What is the Ravid saying? Just tell me what the Ravid, just tell me what the Ravid is saying. But be specific about, is he talking about Shavuos Hadayanim? Is he talking about Shavuos Hesseis? He's talking about all of them, some of them. You can tell me you don't know.
Well, if you can say I don't know, then I'll stop. So it seems to be that with regard to Shavuos HaDayanim, I want to say...
So before you tell me which
in
one,
general,
what does he say about whatever it is, whatever group he's referring to,
yeah.
What does he say about
he's
them?
Saying that nowadays, in the 12th century, 11th, 13th century, right, they got rid of the Shavuos HaDayanim B'Shem HaShem because we didn't want to bring like great destruction to the world and great sinners to the world, so therefore we do this other weird practice in which we blow shofars and we blow out candles and we lie those death beds out before them to scare him, so that if he does break his shavua, or if he's lying, right, it's only a chet against him, and it's
right.
Not this huge sin
not
for
the
world.
Whole world will be. Now this whole idea that the whole world will be destroyed and all this, it's really based on a Gemara that we haven't done yet. It's actually the very next in Shavuos. Once we finish this part and we continue in the Gemara, you're gonna see it. Now, okay, so the Ravid says that they did away with the Shem Hashem or Akimah. They eliminated it and they replaced. They did something else. They had shofros. They extinguished candles. Beds were turned over.
Yes, and I ask what.
Usually,
is it the same?
That was done as a sign of mourning. People don't do that anymore, but it used to be done as mourning. Like when there's death around.
So they would bring beds into the
and they would
base canasta?
Turn them upside down, they would turn them upside down.
That's an old English thing, too.
Also, you learned about it in Hilchot Nida.
It was an old English thing. Similar. For what reason? For mourning?
For mourning. They used to do this thing. They would sleep under the beds. When if there was somebody who was dead in the house, they would sleep under the bed. Like, the life of the house would sleep under the bed.
That seems more like a fear thing.
While, like, the dead... Because the dead was lying on the bed. So then the other people in the house would sleep that night under their beds.
Under the dead
with
person's
the
bed? No. Under their own beds.
So that they wouldn't be
so
like
wouldn't
the dead
also
person.
Be like the dead person sleeping.
Meaning, like, when, let's say, like, the angel of death comes to take his neshama in the middle of the night, you know?
Like
they shouldn't get confused.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
So that sounds a little different, but do we think that this
different.
Is the same customs that the Ritva was talking about earlier, that Rashi talks about, or these are
idea.
Just other customs that developed all across?
I don't know, because he mentions things that were not mentioned in the other
right, like the shofar.
And he doesn't mention the new
Neodos and Fugos, right. Okay,
but he mentions the shofar, right?
But to me, it's all
sound.
The same ideas, you know, to scare the guy, make him think about death.
And what's this thing of She'im Yichatzeh La'atzmo Yichatzeh?
I thought that was
you
so
said
cool.
It.
Idea, yeah, but I'm wondering, is this the Gemara that you're talking about later in Shavuos?
No. Well, he's saying that this way, without mentioning God's name, the world won't be destroyed. So that if anybody sins, it's his own sin.
Uh-huh.
So he'll just be punished by himself. Nobody else will have to suffer because of his sin.
Okay, maybe this is a question that we'll answer later. But let's say I take a Shavuos B'tzuah B'Shem Hashem, and then I... do whatever to like go against it. Like I say, I'm not going to drink coffee today, but Shem Hashem, and then I go ahead and drink coffee.
Well, people who swear falsely,
isn't that my sin? Like, what does
I know,
it have to?
But it's about. But that's the way
okay.
You have to wait.
Okay. Okay. That's what I was wondering.
So now the only question is, when the Ravid said this, that in his time they did away with the Shem Hashem, do you think he means they did away with the Shem Hashem only for Shavuos Heses or for all Shavuos?
I think all.
Yeah, I would think so too, because what. If the whole fear is that, you know, because the world will be destroyed for Shavuos Sheker, then I would think that,
actually,
that should be true for all Shavuos.
Yeah, not just Shavuos HaDayanim, all Shavuos, like all categories of Shavuos.
I would think so too.
Yeah.
But isn't the point about the She'im Yichatzeh?
It's just that Shavuos B'tzuah is a little bit different because those were voluntary in it, so just don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, here these Shavuos HaDayanim, according to Halacha, Dayanim are supposed to make the guy swear. So now we're saying that without the She'im Hashem. What were you going to say? I'm sorry, Hannah.
I was going to say that it's probably not Shavuot B'tzuah because it says She'im Yichatzeh La'atzmo Yichatzeh, and like it would anyway be La'atzmo Yichatzeh for Shavuot.
Not if he took the Shem Hashem.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So as soon as it involves Shem Hashem, there's this concern that using Shem Hashem in vain will destroy the world.
Oh, I thought it was talking about also the Beit Din would be implicated.
Oh.
Implicated in what?
Well, because it's the Beit Din that's making him swear.
So why is the Kol Ha'olam Ben Chorev, which is the best thing?
So once the justice falls, we are done for.
Yeah, I just assumed wrong.
It says Ha'olam Chorev.
Oh, Lord.
Why
would anyone want to be on a beast?
Okay. So let's move on.
Khan's been on Batetit.
I mean, yeah, Hatars in the Dark every year.
Okay, let's move on.
Khan, Rabbi Palmer, and I don't know who else comes in.
You guys did a real beast in this year.
Yeah.
We did.
When
someone had
Rachel Free was doing Hatars Nadarim. And Rabbi Berger was grilling her. I loved it.
Okay. Rashba. Somebody tell me what the Rashba said.
Absolutely.
Okay, maybe I should say we. I understood part of it.
Okay.
Which was basically that he was. He brings up the fact that Rav and Shmuel disagree about what Hatan Ashtei Kesef is referring to.
Okay.
And then in connection with that, and I wasn't 100% sure what the connection was, he cites a Yerushalmi.
Well, in connection with what does he cite Yerushalmi?
Yeah, well, that's
under Rav. You think it's related to the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? That's why you put it in Shmuel?
No, I thought it was an understanding what the Ma'ot were, exactly.
What the who was?
The Ma'ot of either the Tana or the Kfirah.
The definition.
What exactly the coins were that we're discussing, and the amount that the coins are equated, or are worth.
Okay, so what does he say it is?
What does who say it is? The Rashba say... What does Darasha say?
He just said about what the coins are. Is that what she just said?
And that Montego.
Well, it's what the coin is. What the coin is. What is he telling you?
At the end of the day,
it says
a ma'at.
It's a ma'at.
Of Kesef.
It's a ma'at.
Okay.
So what's Shtei Kesef?
Shtei ma'at.
Two ma'at. So
maybe it was so obvious that we just didn't think about that.
What?
Maybe it was just
that
so
wasn't
obvious
what we got stuck on. We were like, okay, we get that.
So then what is he doing the Yerushalmi for?
Yeah, that's what. Yes.
That is a good question.
Also, and just a question: how do we pronounce that word on the second line? Definitely Gera.
Gera.
Even though it sounds like it's going for a female word.
That's right.
Okay.
Where do you find that word?
In the Jastra.
Serious? No.
You mean in the Torah.
Is it found in the Torah?
Yeah.
Where? He quotes it. Well, it doesn't quote you where. It just, what does he quote? What?
Shmuel's mom and Yigal.
Did you look it up?
Nope. Well, we said we had this citation.
You have a citation and then you don't look it up.
Quick.
I don't get it.
I didn't have a citation.
Yeah, but I think I said that I had it.
Shmuel.
Why didn't you look it up? You don't need
You're
their,
right, I don't need them.
You don't need their permission to
I
look
do,
it up.
I do, I need
Shmuel Lama.
Is it the Yitzharsha? Kol ha'over, ha'pikudim, machatit ha'shekel, b'shekel ha'kodesh, esrim gira ha'shekel, machatit
ha'shekel. Oh my gosh!
We all knew.
I didn't have a citation.
Totally embarrassing.
I had a citation. It was
Lama,
pasuk bez. It's
the beginning of Parshas Kisisa.
It's literally this week's Parshas.
It's about the first...
Why are you embarrassed?
The beginning of Parshas... You should be embarrassed. You should know the...
I know, but my embarrassment has nothing to do with this week's Parshas. It has to do with my... in general.
Right. So... It says you have to, everybody has to give a machzis hashekel, and the Torah says in passing, esrim geira hashekel. Now what is a shekel? It's equivalent to 20 geira. Geira is a coin. Now, the geira, what coin is that? Does the Rashba tell you, or he just expects you to know?
He gave us a definition.
So what is it? So tell me, what is a geira?
It's equivalent to a ma.
A geira is a ma.
So he says, "Esrim geira is a ma." As Rachel says,
how did the Rashba? How did the Rashba know that?
From Yerushalmi.
Well, that too.
Rashi.
What's ukidim etargamina?
Unkelus.
You have an uncle. You don't have an uncle.
No.
There.
Oh, but we do.
I do. Oh no, that's how you guys
do. So.
I actually looked at Uncle before. This is so upsetting.
I want you to, you know, pay attention more. Ukid in the Targumina means it has to be translated in. By,
I mean, I assume that.
So why is it? Look it up.
Well, what? I,
you don't want to look it up?
I'm not against looking
good.
It up, but I just
so then look it
felt
up.
In this case, if it's it, so clearly with Targumina, okay. Estrum Geira, like what was there?
I know, but when
discover?
I ask it, you're all hesitant.
He calls it a Matin Sela, though.
Okay.
Unless I'm reading it wrong. I don't.
Yes, wait. You are.
Estrin Matin Sela'a. It's 20 Mayat because he says. Esrim Gira Hashakel, right? He's defining the amount of Esrim Hashakel as Esrim Gira. So Esrim Ma'in Sila'a. There are 20 Ma'in to a Sela.
That's correct.
That was good.
So Gira is a Ma'a.
Does anyone else want to?
It's because
I'm trying to do a Chadit.
Okay.
A target
so, so now, and now he says, so we got the following. We know that there's a Shekel. There's something called a Shekel. And we also know that there are 20 geira equal one shekel, and a geira is a ma'os. So that means there are 20 ma'os, ma'os, mem ayin vav tav, 20 ma'os equal one shekel. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to be able to do is we're going to try to create or just establish the currencies that the Torah is mentions and operates with. So far we've seen now two coins, a shekel coin, and now a ma'a. And we also have a relationship between the two. 20 ma'os equal one shekel.
Well, shekel is also the same word as a sela.
Okay, we're going to discuss that later. For the time being, let's assume that.
Well, didn't we
assume
go over this? We said the sela of the Torah versus...
No, the shekel of the Torah.
Yeah, but there's more to it than probably
okay.
what I just said.
Okay.
Which you will see it as you continue to prepare the makaros that I gave you. Okay, so then, now then of course you can ask, well, Unculus, how did Unculus know that a geira? Okay, so 1 second. So we know from Unculus that a geira is a ma'a.
Yeah.
Fine. Now, the Rashba is claiming, though, now when we go back to our halacha of Moda B'mitzas, where it says, Hatan or Shtei Kesef, and the Rashba is claiming that, what is Shtei Kesef? All that means is two silver coins, but it doesn't tell you which coins. Now, if you would have left it to me, if I left it to you, what would you say? What kind of a coin is it?
I thought it could have been a
kuta. Well, I'm talking
from the Torah
itself, I'm asking you.
I guess
why do I say from the Torah itself? Because how do we... Okay.
It says kesef okalim in the Torah.
It says kesef
okalim.
So what is that kesef? We're working off of that pasuk, right?
Right.
And it says kesef, so kesef is a coin. What coin? A shekel.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Could be.
But shekel isn't the smallest.
The shekel's not the smallest.
Yeah,
Ron is saying there's no reason to think it's the smallest.
So the Rashba's claiming that it's a ma'a. That's what the Rashba's saying. And now he's quoting the Yerushalmi for what purpose? To prove that point. What point? That the kesef, or the shtei kesef that we have by Moda B'mitzas, the shtei kesef, the coins that we're talking about are not shkolim coins. They're not shekel coins, but rather, what are they?
Ma'os.
Now, does the Yerushalmi confirm that? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, it does. So tell me what the Yerushalmi said.
Quotes the Machloket between the Hillel and Beit Shammai.
About what?
That's the first thing. About what the Ta'ana is.
What Ta'ana of what? What are we talking about? What are they talking about? What case?
They're talking about
our
case.
Case.
So about
okay.
Our case.
Okay.
Our case.
Moda
B'mitzvah. Moda B'mitzvah.
Yeah.
So Beit Shammai said, so Yerushalmi quotes a brisa. We don't have this brisa in the Bavli.
Oh, so when it quotes Kiddushin Beis.
Well, I'm talking about this brisa that it says, Hatana... And Hannah said correctly, what is Hatana referring to? Arm Shavuos HaDayanim.
I know.
Hatana, Beit Shammai Omrim, Ma'a Kesef. Ubeis Hillel Omrin, Shnei Moen Kesef. What's happened? There's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about this din of Kesef. Because it says in the Torah, Ki Tinishal Reyehu Kesef Okelem Lishmor. How much Kesef? Beis Shammai says it's one ma'ah. And Beis Hillel says it's two ma'os. Now right away when you see this, I don't know if you're able to put all the dots together. One second. But our Mishnah said what?
Shtei
kesef. So, what's going on? Beis Shammai says it's only one? So what's the answer?
The answer is how he concludes.
What's the answer?
That it's just a different author than our Mishnah. A different Talmud,
He's working with a different current.
One ma'a equals two se'ah.
No.
But that is what we say then.
No. Our Mishnah is following the view of Beis Hillel.
Oh, this is sweet.
I said he was a different Talmud, but that's it.
What's the difference? Beis Hillel. It's just that in the Bavli, we weren't aware of what?
Who are authors.
That there was a machlokes tanaim about whether it's shtei kesef or one kesef. And from this braisa stated in the Yerushalmi, we discover that it's really a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, it's not a problem for us because typically whenever there's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who do we automatically follow?
I just learned this yesterday. Beis Hillel. I mean, I didn't learn it, I knew that.
So our Mishnah simply states it's shtei kesef, which according to the Rashba, what is the kesef? What currency, what matbea, what coin is a maz? So that means it's shtei maz. So it turns out that our Mishnah simply follows the view of Beis Hillel. And our Mishnah doesn't even cite the opinion of Beis Shammai. I don't know, maybe they didn't have it. I don't know. I just don't know. You know. But the Yerushalmi has it. And then the Yerushalmi then launches into raising an inconsistency that they find in both the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And then the Yerushalmi tries to resolve that inconsistency. Now, all that is, I mean, you know, we'll go through it, but truth is, we could stop right away because we see already what?
That
from this Yerushalmi,
ma'a.
That the coin that they're talking about is a ma. Now, it just so happens that our Mishnah is following the view of Beis Hillel, and therefore, how many ma's? Two. But we already see that the currency, the coin that they're talking about, is a ma'a coin. Not a shekel coin, not some other coin, right? It's a ma'a. Now, did you understand the inconsistency that was raised?
I think that's the part I understood
best.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? That would have been the harder part. Okay.
Maybe. I misunderstood it entirely.
All right, what was the inconsistency that the Yerushalmi?
So
there's an inconsistency within Beis Shammai and also within Beis Hillel.
Right.
But you have to know something else about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Somebody alluded to it before.
So we looked it up in Kiddushin, yeah. Some of us knew, but we looked it up again anyway. That in Kiddushin, when the Mishnah, it just uses the term Kesef, and then both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai give relative amounts.
This is for what? Ha'isha Niknes B'Shalosh Durachim Kesef
Sh'arim B'ya.
The opening.
Oh,
mission.
I was there last year. Okay.
So, and what is, and the Mishnah goes on to say, what is the definition of kesef?
Beit Shammai defines it as a dinar, shabbat dinar, and Beit Hillel defines it as a pruter, shabbat pruter.
Okay. So, in this case, when we're trying to define kesef, we have a machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but here, they both answer different coins. Beis Shammai says it's a dinar. Now we have to review again what's the relationship between a dinar and a ma'a. We'll get to that. You should know it already because we did it. But so here, when it comes to Kesef Kedushin, right, mm-hmm. Beis Shammai says it's a dinar, not a ma'a. And Beis Hillel says it's a pruta. Pruta, you know, is copper.
So
not even silver. It's not a ma'a. So it seems so arbitrary at first glance, you know, what's going on. So the Yerushalmi then proceeds to resolve it, why this inconsistency can be explained, and the same thing for Beis Hillel. So did anybody understand?
So wasn't it basically that Beit Hillel changed his opinion, particularly for this case of Shvuot HaDayanim, because of the pasuk it says?
So which one are you explaining first?
Beit Hillel, because okay, I think that's the way the Yerushalmi.
Yes, you're right.
So basically the pasuk says, Ki teini sharehu kasef o kelim, and so first, the Yerushalmi suggests that this might make one. This might teach us that Beit Din will only adjudicate a case that is dealing with a prutzah or more of value. But then it rejects that limud from this pasuk because we have that limud from a different pasuk that I don't remember the beginning of, but it ends with le'ashma.
Yeah.
So it was the last pasuk of the sugya, and it's basically talking about getting kapara and the kohen and the karbon, and so basically we have a drash on that pasuk that teaches us that you can't be chaya for less than a pruta, which would mean you can't be kofar for less than a pruta, and you wouldn't be forced to take a shvuah for less than a pruta. So we know that shvuot dayanim only applies to a pruta or more. So now we're still left with this pasuk kesef or kelim,
yes.
And the point is I think. The assumed question is why is kelim in plural? I think is kind of the assumed question.
Well, first of all, we're just before you get to that part, that would explain why it's two and not one.
Right,
the plural.
But right now, we want to first identify what coin it is. And then we'll discuss. Well, how many?
So is it saying that logically?
So by kedushin. We'll say it's
a pruta.
So why then will we come to ki tenisha reyehu? What is that coming to teach us?
It has to be more than.
It has to be because we know the din of a pruta that would from la'ashma ba, that you have to have an amount for which the person would then be guilty of. That's at the end of Perikei of Vayikra.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, so the minimum amount would be a pruta. So then what is the pasuk ki teni sharehu kesef o kelim? So it's got to be a different coin. That's more than a pruta. And therefore, now there's a certain arbitrariness here that we pick a ma. Because there were other coins between a pruta and a ma. Do you know what they are?
Oh, yes.
Okay, we'll get to that soon. There were.
I know. Sorry.
I'll let you tell me. Let's just... Okay, so, and then the question was, I'm just trying to find it 1 second. Now, why is it, how did Beis Hillel know that it's two ma'os and not just one?
The plurality of kelim.
Because that's the hekesh between kesef and kelim. Since kelim is plural, therefore the kesef would be plural. So if you just, so then really, so what do you think Beis Shammai holds?
They have only one.
Why?
They have a different lima. They said
they don't make that hekesh.
They learned kelim just means they include klicharet.
Yerushalmi said that.
Later on.
It was like the last line.
You want it?
Yeah, what did it say? I don't remember.
That it's including other types of kelim and not just slaves.
What is
it? It's like towards the bottom of the page.
Bottom third.
The bottom third, not the bottom. It's like in the Steinsaltz, it's right before the paragraph break.
Yeah, I see it. Got it. Yeah. So he uses it some other drasha. So that's really what really comes down to the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is whether you make the hekesh of ma kelim shnayim of kesef shnayim. Beis Shammai does not make that hekesh, and Beis Hillel does.
Yeah.
Okay. But what you see from this Yerushalmi clearly, it's very clear, that the coin that we're talking about, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the coin is a mock coin, just they argue about how many of them do you need, is it one or two?
But it's not like they learned that from the Pasuk.
No, they just assumed
it's like a random.
Well, he said, now what he said was...
Who's the he?
The Rashba said, and even the Yerushalmi said it too, the expression was, Sof Matbeya Kesef Ma'a. What does that mean? Sof Matbeya Kesef Ma'a.
I thought it meant that the Matba'a is like the coinage system, and the Sof of the Matba'a is like the end of the coinage
what
system.
What do you mean by oin? End, I'm sorry.
Like the end as in like what the smallest, because Agira is
the smallest. Yeah. So say it again now. What are you saying to me? That the smallest coin?
The smallest coin is Agira. In the coinage system of the Torah.
Okay.
Like we thought of it as a spectrum. So
yeah,
the least like
the
common.
Suffering.
So we will know that more. You're right.
Yay.
But it'll become more clear to you after we do, which I know you didn't get to yet, the Gemara in Kedusha that I assigned. Anybody?
We sort of
started it the last 5 minutes or so, because we knew we were kind of stuck in the Rashba.
Okay. So that will become more clear to you. Now, but let's go over some of the other things that he says in terms of the relationship between different coins.
Sure.
So one thing we know, there are 20 ma'os to a shekel. He also tells us how many, he talks about a dinar.
Mm-hmm. A dinar is a ma'a is a sixth of a dinar, meaning that there are six ma'ot in one dinar.
Okay, so we have then, so a dinar obviously is worth more, is worth six times more than a ma'a. The six ma'os equal one dinar, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for just what we have a shekel, then comes a dinar, and then we have a ma'a, that's right. So the shekel seems to be of the most value. So what is the relationship then? Figure this out now. What is the relationship now between a dinar and a shekel? And you all know the answer, you just have to do a little math.
4 dinarim is 2 shekels, so 2 dinarim is 1 shekel.
You're not figuring
what?
It.
Wait, no,
do
you're
it
not
again. Do it again.
It's like
what do you
half.
Know? How many ma'os are there in a shekel?
20.
How many ma'os are there in the dinar?
Six.
Okay, now do some math.
It'll be 3 1/3 dinar in total.
Correct.
Okay, now I'm confused because I was just reading it off what you told us at the beginning of the semester.
I know.
So
he said that before. He said we're not going to go back to what we did there.
So now I'm sad.
Okay.
Oh, that's as opposed
but
to.
But everything will become clear because I. There's a piece
can
that.
Can you say that one more time?
That I haven't filled you in yet.
Ben is sad.
If there are 20 ma'os to a shekel and there are 6 ma'os to a dinar, that means how many dinarim are there in a shekel? It's 20 divided by 6, and that's 3 1/3.
Are we outside the Rashba, or can I ask a question about a word that he uses? Literally, in the umma'a, who?
Yeah.
1/6 of a dinar shall kesef tsuri. Does that mean a full kesef? Okay. Does that mean a kesef from?
That's
a place called
Sor.
That's the Gemara that we're doing, right?
That's going to be the Gemara in Kedushin that you're going to be.
So Sor is a place.
Sor is Tyre.
Is it what?
Tyre, like up north.
Sidon.
Yeah. Sor. I think it's Tyre.
Like what? A place.
It's a city.
It's a Sor. Oh, it's a place. I never heard of that place in my life.
I guess
you heard of Sidon. Sidon.
I guess she only reads the Bible.
I think there will be a Tanakh segment.
Don't suggest that.
Look up in dictionary.
Not instead of anything. Calm down.
You looked up Tsuri, Tsor?
We should have.
I thought it was like a full coin.
Look it up.
We hadn't looked it up.
There's a Jastro right there.
Someone take it.
You're the one who didn't know what it was. You didn't know. We all got it wrong.
No, we were suggesting that either it was a place or a full coin.
Hannah suggested.
Like a Tsor.
We're talking now about the word. That's all we're talking about.
We got it.
Okay, look it up.
Okay.
So, and then I guess the other question is,
what happened?
What one thought was that? And so, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, it says, "The Kol Kesef Mitzvrei Hem."
Before you get to that, Kol Kesef HaOmer
BaTorah. Yeah, it's in Phoenicia. Yeah, it's higher in whatever. How do we pronounce it in Phoenicia?
Phoenicia.
That just means provinces.
Okay, because that was also suggested. I'm like, I don't think it's like Mecca and Medina, if we were going to do Tyre, it could also be Medina.
No.
Medina doesn't exist in the time of the Gemara.
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
No, it's not. Are you asking me? Okay, shh. So, this is what. What line did you read to me?
Literally, the line right after the Yerushalmi, right? Umahu.
Ushtus hadiner shel kesef tzuri.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you all have? We're just going to do that line in the Gemara. Just that line in the Gemara Kedushin. Because that's what he's referencing. Do you all have access to a Kedushin?
Yes.
Oh, right
it's
now.
Open. It's in my face.
Well, let me close the Yerushalmi.
Okay. All right. So what is? I want someone to read me the sentence there. It's just that we're coming in out of context, because I gave you more to prepare in Kiddushin.
So what we're just Amar Ravasi.
Yeah, just to go on there. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Ravasi.
Well, it's Amar Ravasi to Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Ravasi is what I have. Kol Kesef HaAmor BaTorah Kesef Tzuri. Vishal Divrehem Kesef Medina.
Stop. This is a very important statement of Ravasi. Kol Kesef HaOmer BaTorah Kesef Tzuri. And then what did it say? Vishal Divrehem?
Yes.
Kesef Medina. Okay. So now.
Interesting. Why? Can I ask a question on it? Right, so
we didn't explain it yet. You want to explain it first?
I can try, but can you write it down if you want?
Okay, what does this mean?
So I guess we're talking about dinim, right? We're talking about different laws with regards to money. So any time that kesef is mentioned in the Torah, we're going to use that system of the suri system.
Right? What system is that? Is what we need
the Phoenician monetary system.
What system is that?
We don't know.
But you have to know.
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
This is the one I mean, Rashi says in the Gemara
and Kedushin. Rashi explains it. What?
He says, Shekel Tzuri. Ve'im stam haya matbea ha'pachot shebet Tzuri. I mean, also, he explains specifically that Kesef Medina is Shminit shebet Kesef Tzuri.
Well, so tell me, what is Kesef Tzuri? And what is Kesef Medina?
Talking about relative amounts, or you want a definition of like what the names of the matzvot were in Phoenicia?
No, I'm not asking about names. I'm asking about what such a coin was.
Right. I mean, we literally just read the one line, but I glanced at the Rashi, but I think that it's saying that Kesef Tzuri was what? Worth eight times the value of Kesef Medina, but I don't know.
That's correct.
More than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, can you say that?
Okay. Let me repeat. Kesef Tzuri, we're talking about the monetary standard that existed in this city called Sor. Okay. Their monetary, and I'll explain to you what their system was. Their system had the most value for the coins that they used.
Please.
Now, No.
Like everyone wants
nothing to do with inflation. Now, they had the same types of coins. In other words, they had a shekel, they had a dinar, okay? They had coins. The difference, though, in Sur, though, it was probably a wealthier city, and their coins were made out of pure silver.
Ah, okay. So it's actually a different value.
Right. So, therefore, a dinar in Sur was pure silver. A shekel in Sur was pure silver. The other areas, surrounding areas, or other places, including Yerushalayim, all these other places, maybe couldn't afford that. So they only had their dinar, let's take the example of the dinar, only 1/8 of the coin was from silver. The other 7/8 were basically a filler, which they used copper. So it was a silver coin, but it's not 100% silver.
So when we say it was the same coin, was that it was a similar shape and it would have the same name, but
yeah,
then
but you know
the value
in Yerushalayim, you know, if you went into Tzor with your Yerushalayim coins,
you needed a lot
you
more.
Need a lot more because then you would need 8 dinarim, let's say, to equal 1 Tzor dinar. Of course, if you're from Tzor and you came to Yerushalayim, you're 1 dinar.
You can cash it in to get for eight.
Okay. So they had these different standards. Yeah. Now, what Ravasi is claiming is that kol kesef ha'omer batorah
is pure.
It has to be pure silver, which was the case in Tzor. So that's what they're using Tzor to tell you that that's the standard.
And when we say kol kesef ha'omer batorah, we're saying anything that is de'oraita involving monetary values
like the
must be met at
like
this
the,
value.
The shekel, right? All the things where the Torah gives amounts where you're chayef to pay, let's say, you know, for onus and mafata, remember that, you have to pay 50 shekel.
Even though it doesn't give an amount, it's just talking about kesef in general.
Yeah, so we assume, unless we have reason to claim otherwise, then what are we saying it is? It's pure. Now, and that's what the Rashba is referring to when he says, Uma hushtus ha-dinar shal kesef tzuri. A ma is a sixth of a dinar of kesef tzuri. So that means you're talking about is a sixth of a pure silver dinar. So a ma, now a ma was also a silver coin, and it was, so probably the amount of silver in a ma, I'm guessing, is probably 1/6 of the amount of silver in a dinar. Because if it's the same amount.
And so we're assuming that there's both a ma'a tzuri and a ma'a medina.
So right now we're, forget about medina, I haven't explained to you what that is. I mean I have, but I didn't bring that up yet. So right now, so it sounds like that in Tzor, if you went to the city of Tzor, would you find a ma'a there?
I'm Why assuming not?
Yes. And what would it be? What would its contents be? Also, 100% silver. A dinar is 100% silver. A shekel, 100% silver. Okay. Now, what? Going back to Ravasi's statement, where he said, "Vishel divrehem kesef medina." What do you think that means? What do you mean, "Vishel divrehem"?
That if it's a rabbinic requirement.
What do you mean by you're right? But just say what you mean when you say what the requirement of what to do what?
That you have like a payment that you would have to make that's required
to rabbanan. Yeah. What would be if the rabbanan were machayev someone to pay some penalty, but it's a rabbinic penalty?
They can use kesef medina.
They can. They did. According to Ravasi, that they would then operate with the lower standard.
Meaning that if someone paid with
so let's say if they paskined as a, let's say as a penalty, you're gonna have to pay 100 dinarim, let's say they made such a penalty. They wouldn't use the Tzor standard. They would use the Medina standard. So therefore the 100 dinarim would really be in terms of silver, really be 1/8 of that.
So this is only with regard to a Beis Din. Or what is that? Like,
yeah, it's if the Rabbanan, but it was a chiyuv. They weren't machayiv the chiyuv d'oraisa. They weren't just implementing a d'oraisa. But let's say they said that they imposed a penalty on somebody.
Are there any cases that aren't, you know, repaying debts or things like that for
Rabbanan Institute? Well, I was thinking kollusion, but I don't think that's right.
Let's say somebody violated some city ordinance and they
paid.
Or like your kona something. What? It could be kona that with a kesef medina, right?
Kona what?
Anything. Like I want to buy your mug.
Well, it depends what's going on. It depends where you are. In Tzor, I'm sure everything operated with the pure silver.
But that's not, yeah.
If you're in Yerushalayim, everything operated, everything was. It's like now in Israel, you go with your American dollars, you know, and what the ratio is shekel to dollars. Okay. So it depends what. Okay. Now the Rashba also said, so how much are shteimos? Shteimos is a third of a dinar, right? Because there are six mos to a dinar. And then he said, v'chein amru, kuf tzadi beis prutos bedinar.
Wait, so we're skipping the citation from
Bava Metzia? Did you understand that citation? Yes or no?
Why? I didn't understand why he quoted it.
Why does he quote it? Okay, so if you don't know why he quoted it, so first try to figure out what that citation is saying, and then you try to figure out, so why did he mention it?
Also, I didn't know what a mekach was.
Okay.
You said mekach was like an acquisition, like a transaction.
A transaction, a purchase.
I thought it would, yeah.
It may have been that I was reading that line with Rachel.
I think we thought that it might have been a coin. But it's fine. I just was
surprised. He's just citing a Gemara that helps him understand. I think it's like how coins relate to one another. So if
Ira Kesef and we have Day Kesef, and it's out of the 24
of a Sala, that's a sixth.
Okay.
Of what he claimed from him initially.
I did not understand the complete case, but I didn't feel like it affected my understanding.
Okay, it probably wouldn't, because he's just giving an example, so even though you didn't get this, you still, if you got what he was saying until now, then you got it. Anybody know what Onah is?
We looked it up.
Coerced payment. Oppression.
It's like they overpaid.
Yes. So can you now say exactly what you mean by that? Who knows what the din is?
Then you have to give me my money back.
What are we talking about? Give me a whole case. I know what you're talking about. We overpaid for what? What did happen? I owe you money and I gave you more money than you deserve.
No, it's not like a transaction.
Interest. No, Rachel had it.
It's like something was overvalued. Like, let's say I bought a field from you and you quoted me
$200. Don't use a field, because that's not a good example.
A cow.
Okay, I wanted to buy these cookies from you, and you told me it was like a full box of cookies, and you valued it at $5.
Yes.
And then someone comes over and says, that's only a half a box of cookies, that's really valued at $2.50.
Okay, well, you don't have to drop to a half a box to make the issue. To make
so
the
it could
profit.
Be $4.99.
No, I don't mean that. In other words, I charged you for this safer, I charged you $10. Okay? And you paid $10. Afterwards, it turned out that I overcharged you. That this book, that this safer really goes for $8 or something. So what happens? What happens when, after we made the deal, you paid and you took the book and you went home, da da da, and sometime afterwards you found out that, you could have been, I could have made a mistake, whether I did it b'mezi b'shog, it's not the issue right now. The point is, I overcharged you. So al pi halacha, what's the din? Anybody know? So onah, the word onah, now the same is where there's that you're overcharging, and it could also be undercharging. It could also be. So let's say if this really costs $10, and for some reason I sold it for $8, and you only paid $8, and then afterwards I realized, oh my goodness, I made a mistake, it's really $10, it would be the same issue. The only thing is, the party who got wronged is the issue. So onah means where you're overpaying, overcharging.
It's like the difference.
Yeah, or under, or undercharging. Now, so what happens when that happens? I charged you, instead of charging you 10, I charged you 12. Right? It should have been 10 and I charged you 12. So what is the din?
You have to pay me back the 10.
So the answer is, it depends. Oh. It depends how much was the overcharge.
It's like a percentage thing.
Yes. If the overcharge was exactly 1/6 So, for example, let's just get the numbers. I don't want to have to deal with fractions. So let's
12.
Let's say I charge. It should have been 12, and I charged you 14. So that means, right?
That is 1 cent.
So that means I charge you $2 extra. So the $2 extra is 1/6 of the of what it was, what it should have been worth. It should have been worth 12, and I charged you 14. So if it's exactly 1/6, okay. Before I tell you the dinner, what I should have assessed. Let me just back up a second. I want to just preface. When there is an overcharge, there are two issues that have to be, I should have said that, for two issues have to be resolved. Number one, does the sale automatically become null and void because, after all, you paid more than, is it a mekachtos automatically?
I think
not. Now, if it is a mekachtos, then of course, you give me back the sefer, I give you back the $14, if it's a mekachtos. So that's one issue. Second issue is, if it's not a mekachtos, that the sale remains valid, then the question is, do I have to return to you the differential? Do I have to return to you the extra $2 that you paid me, or not? Now, you might think it should be obvious. Now, that's the two issues to be. Number one, is it a mekachtos? And if it's not a mekachtos, if the sale remains valid, do you have a right in court to get back from me the $2 extra that you paid me or not? Because after all, you agreed to pay the $14. Nobody forced you to. Okay, so it turns out that it, okay, so that's what you paid. So for you, it was worth paying $14 to buy the safer. Okay. So the question is, should we? So the answer to both questions is, it depends on the amount of the discrepancy between what the price really is and what he ended up charging him. If the differential is 1/6, then the din is the sale is valid, but you have to pay back the difference.
The assumption is 1/6 or less, or exactly 1/6?
Exactly 1/6. Exactly 1/6. Now, number two, if the amount is more than 1/6, so for more like 1/5, 1/4, let's say, it should have cost. It should have cost 12, and I charged you 16 instead of 12. So that means, how much did I overcharge you by 1/3?
Okay.
Right. Then the din is the sale is null and void, and the book goes back, and the money goes back. No employee. That's a mekachtos. Now, what will be if the differential is less than 1/6? Let's say it's 1/7 and 1/8. Let's say it was supposed to be $12 and I charge you $13. Or I charge you $12.50. Then you have the din is the sale is valid and you don't have to return the difference. And the assumption is, because we assume that for that relatively small amount, a person would be mochel.
And the assumption is that this is true both for overcharging and undercharging.
Same thing.
I have curiosity, just a general question.
Yeah.
These are the rules that storekeepers use to determine how much profit, like they're right?
Probably.
Is that,
well, no, I would think the profit is not.
No,
the profit goes into the price of what the actual price should be. This is whatever that price was. You owe either charge more or charge too much or too little.
Because aren't there also, obviously
it's
a totally separate topic.
So let's not do it. We're just running out of time.
Okay.
So now, why is he citing? So what is the din he's saying here? Ha'onah is arba kesef. Hatana is shtei kesef.
Which means double.
No.
That in cases of
may esrim the arba kesef lesela shtus hameka.
that in a case of ona, arba kesef or something.
What is he talking about?
We didn't honestly.
Okay, the total charge is 24. Like, for this, you wanted 24 kesef. And, you overcharged me or undercharged me by 4 kesef.
Right.
It should have been 28 or it should have been 20.
But no, it was 24. It should have been?
Yeah, maybe you undercharged me also. Why does it make a difference?
To 20.
Yeah, or you charged me 28 also, which is
right.
A difference.
That's right.
And then
what it should have been. That was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm confused about the part about Tana Shtei Kesef.
He's talking about of Motiv and Mitzvah.
That's what I thought, but how does that make any sense?
I think it's like the Zabai is like, I'll
you
pay
know.
You back two.
No. He's giving you two different cases.
He's like, FYI, if it was 20, a loan of 24 and he's
He says, you're working out of an assumption that there are 24 Kesef to a Sela.
What?
May Esrim V'arba Kesef L'Sela.
Okay, fine.
There are 24 kesef to a sela. So working with that number, 24 kesef to a sela.
What does that have to do?
The onah, how much would the onah be?
Shtetameka.
Would be a sixth. So what's a sixth of 24? Four. Okay. Now, what is for hatana shtei kesef? That's referring to our din of motiv b'mitzvah.
So, but that doesn't change.
It would be shtei kesef out of 24.
But how does that have anything to do with the shtetameka?
Has nothing.
So it's just randomly, he's stuck it in there.
They're putting together different halakhot. But what is the point of putting it all together?
To show his...
To show what?
That.
What do you see from this?
He's not quoting
that shtei kesef is a ma.
Well, he's telling you there are 24 of these kesef is to a
sela. And shtei kesef is any shtei kesef.
What are these?
And then the Gemara defines that it is a kesef, ma'ot kesef, because...
Don't say the word ma'os yet. It says there are 24 kesef to a sela.
And we know that one sela equals 24 ma'os.
Well, that's
so
what
that's
I want
to
know. Do we know that?
Well, now we know it.
How do you,
from here?
Well
we know it because...
So what is that? How do you know? Yeah, how do you know it from me? What did I tell you?
That you were in Gemara. What do you mean?
Yeah. Are you getting this?
No.
Okay.
When did you tell us? At the beginning of the semester?
No. Well, that's what you quoted at the beginning that
yeah,
I told
saying.
You. Yeah, this is what I told you.
Oh, fine. I thought you said we wouldn't bring that up again. That's so unfair.
What? No. I'm just saying that it's more complicated than...
One sela equals 24 mouths.
Which means... Now, what is a sela?
A kesef. No, sorry. I didn't mean to say
four
that.
Four dinar.
Okay, what happened? What's happening here? A sela, the coin, a sela, is worth a little bit more than a
shekel.
Shekel.
Oh, because it's a
20. How many mos in a shekel?
20.
Is it not exact?
20. I just said it's worth a little bit more, so obviously they're not exact.
Okay, because at the beginning of the year you said that there were two shekalim to a sela.
I know. It's all going to be clarified.
So is this the correct statement?
I would
one
now. It's just that we ran out of time.
One sela is greater than or equal to one shekel.
What?
One sela is greater than or equal to one shekel. One shekel.
It's really greater than a shekel.
Can I use your one?
By how much greater?
Oh, I have really one.
By how much greater?
By
four ma'os.
Right, by four kesef, by four ma'os. Isn't that right? So a shekel is only worth 20 ma'os,
yeah.
And a sela is worth 24 ma'os.
Okay. And right now we're not saying which kind of shekel.
Check out.
What do you mean?
We're talking about the
Taya
one.
What kind is that?
No, we had one that was from the Torah and one that
forget
was...
about that for now.
That's just what I'm saying. We're forgetting
about
it.
Which
you will know it soon, just not yet.
And they probably think
Sarah,
we're
how
crazy.
Are you doing? Not good.
Do you want a cookie? I'll sell it to you for 24 ma'os kesef.
That's really a lot for one cookie. Wow.
Again,
you
don't
even
know how much.
I guess it's actual silver.
Well, I don't know.
Well, except Medina.
One shekel. That was like the tax.
Okay. The reason he's quoting this is you see from this that the kesef is a ma'a. That's why he's quoting
it. We said that
forth.
How do you see from this statement that we're talking about a ma'ah? Because we're being told, now they happen to also talk about the din of onah, but they're working with what? Out of 24 kesef in a sella.
Which we
what,
know is...
What coin... Do you have 24 such coins equal to a sella?
Why did you
it's
say about
ma'ah.
The
shekel?
What? Don't, it was just a side
don't,
thing.
Not yet.
He okay. just wanted to make you angry. Just, it's okay.
Okay,
just,
oh, okay fine. Just, I see. It's just all good. It's all good. I'm so down for the next Kiddushin source, by the way.
What is it?
I'm so down for the next Kiddushin source. I'm very excited.
Maybe you should learn Kiddushin.
Okay.
Yeah, with Rabbi Nachbar.
That's Rabbi Nachbar's choice.
Oh, is that what happens?
Yeah, we alternate.
You know,
I did not know that. I thought maybe you guys decided together.
Well, that's what we
so
decided.
Many times.
Instead of having
they decided
both
together that one would make a decision.
One, and it was, it's just, okay, I'll pick once a year and we can pick the next year.
I had no idea.
So he picked Kiddushin.
Wait, we're doing Kiddushin
last year?
Well, I don't know what we're doing
last year.
Next
year.
No, but I'm
he
saying every half our picks.
And I picked. And I picked Shavuos.
Because he likes teaching the hardest thing for obvious reasons.
Or one of the Bava
Metzia. But it depends. Is they doing Bava Metzia this direction?
What?
Yeah.
We know what they're doing uptown?
Bava Metzia.
Maybe what, that's what they're learning next year?
I think
year?
It depends on
no, they're
shit.
Definitely not doing
Kulin. Okay, so
maybe
four... what is
Yeshiva.
What is next on the syllabus?
Yeah, Yeshiva.
Okay. So first of all, well, now he also talked about 192 prutos
yeah.
to a what?
A kesef dinar.
To a
dinar.
To
a
dinar.
But I assume that's kesef.
And then
right
he also talked about the barley seeds.
Yeah.
So we will talk about this, just getting the numbers.
I mean, that's helpful because that gives us at least some frame of reference to weights that we would understand today. We don't know the value of that
and
weight of silver.
Once you get to the Rambam
and
Shkalim, this thing about shekel and sella will be start to become clear to you.
Okay, and the Kesef Mishnah as well.
And the Kesef Mishnah as well.
Cute, because the Kesef Mishnah's name is the
I don't think
of the Mishnah. Okay. And then the Rimi Gosh after that?
The Rimi Gosh is hard.
Yeah, we heard this morning.
Well,
we had so much fun walking around each time someone said they were consuming food.
That's terrible.